reason, I'll find any reason to talk to our next guest, but we've got a good reason to talk to him. Andy Strickland from CBS Sports Radio in St. Louis and Fox Sports Midwest joins us as we talk about the Blues and the Wild. Andy, good to talk to you, pal. Boy, a descriptor, a little 30-second on this series so far. What have you seen between these two teams?
Well, good to talk to you as well, Rob. To be honest with you, I think I underestimated the Minnesota Wild. I knew that Devan Dubnyk had been a great story for them throughout the second half of the season going back to January, but underestimated their overall team speed. We knew their top-end players could certainly play in the offensive end of the ice, but they're just a tenacious group, and I think it's caught the Blues off guard a little bit. The Blues are now searching for adjustments that they're going to make heading into Game 4. I don't think they expected to be in this position entering the series. You know, when you look at it in terms of how well St. Louis has played throughout the year, winning the division, probably the toughest division in hockey, to be honest with you, they felt good about their game entering the playoffs, and they've gotten a serious wake-up call here in the early going, and they got to figure out a way to generate some offense, which has certainly been a struggle thus far for St. Louis.
Well, you were surprised by Minnesota. Were the Blues surprised by Minnesota? Because they did meet, and it's kind of, you have to almost deal with the Minnesota Wild kind of pre-Devan Dubnyk and post-Devan Dubnyk, right?
Yeah, but this is more than Devan Dubnyk, and I think that's one thing we got to realize around the National Hockey League right now, that this is more than just a goaltender. I mean, he's been a great story for them, but, I mean, guys like Jason Pominville, Michael Granlund, and Zach Parise, I mean, their top line, 6 combined points last night. They're out playing whoever they're being matched up against, game in and game out. Arguably the most dangerous line right now in hockey, off the rush. Their ability to make plays off the rush, their speed off the rush, and you know just how easy they break out outside of their own end as well. It's one or two passes, Rob, and they're gone. And they've really been able to stretch the Blues out inside the neutral zone as well. So this has certainly caught the Blues off guard, I would think. You know, going back to the regular season, I think they respected Minnesota for being a good hockey club. I'm not so sure they expected them to be this good up and down their lineup. But Devan Dubnyk, a great story. But the Minnesota Wild deserve a lot of credit outside of their goaltender. They're a good hockey club.
The Game 2 victory by St. Louis, what was different in that game than Games 1 and Game 3? Because it was, may not have been, I don't know, you were there, but at least on the scoreboard, it was fairly lopsided.
I think they had the lead. I think getting the lead early has been huge for both teams. You know, it seems like who's ever been able to get the lead early, forcing the opposition to chase the game at the beginning of hockey games, it certainly seemed to work in their favor. And that was certainly the case for the Blues in Game 2. That was the case for Minnesota early on in Game 1. You know, they scored 2 minutes and 47 seconds into the series, you know, with Jason Zucker getting the Wild up on the board early and forcing St. Louis to try to play catch-up and come from behind. It's not easy to do against a team that plays with the puck as well as they do in Minnesota. Again, just the overall team speed they play with, how well they get in on the forecheck. They are buzzing nonstop. They constantly force turnovers. They make you uncomfortable in more ways than one. St. Louis was able to get the lead early in that game as well. I should say in the game, in Game 2. Obviously, their best player stepped up in that game. Yeah. Vladimir Tarasenko, we all know that he had a hat trick in Game 2. You look at their best players in last night's game, at least their top line of Tarasenko, Steen, and Yuri Laterra, who's centering that line right now, Rob. I mean, the three of those players didn't have a shot on goal through 2 periods of play. And at the end of the game, they were a collective -9 on the ice for all 3 goals against. They ended up having 2 shots on goal combined as a line. You know, Vladimir Tarasenko, I mentioned his hat trick in Game 2. He didn't have a shot on goal in Game 3. That can't happen. They need him to lead the way offensively, to be dangerous off the rush, to be able to create scoring chances for himself. You know, he and Alexander Steen have great chemistry with one another. They didn't play together a whole lot throughout the regular season. Both players were injured down the stretch and then played the last game of the regular season together, and they were magical in that game. And that carried over, at least in the Game 2. And they had some chances in the first game as well, but almost nothing in last night's game in Minnesota.
With Andy Strickland from CBS Sports Radio, Fox Sports Midwest, talking about the Blues and the Wild. Andy, what about the physicality of this series? Because when I think of the Blues, I think of a big, heavy team, David Backes and others. Yet I think I saw a little quote today from Ken Hitchcock kind of crediting Minnesota for being physical, but not necessarily in the traditional form. How physical a series is this?
I don't think it's been nearly as physical as what I've seen with some of the other series around the National Hockey League. I mean, you watched Minnesota and St. Louis last night, and then when that game's over, you flip over to Winnipeg and Anaheim, Rob.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
in a completely different stratosphere in terms of what's going on with those two teams. You know, the Blues are a physical team, probably not as much as what we're used to seeing in years past. You know, we like to, you know, throw the word heavy around, you know, I mean, in terms of the L.A. Kings and some of these teams we've seen in the past out of the Western Conference who do play that big, bruising style of hockey. And the Blues are at their best when they really are initiating the physical play. But when you look at, you know, overall in the series, I mean, I think the first game of this series had the fewest combined amount of hits than any other opening game in any other series in the National Hockey League. It picked up in game two. Last night, Minnesota was certainly the more physical team, certainly more physical than St. Louis. But if you look at the Blues right now, a lot of their physical play and a lot of their nastiness is coming after the whistle. And at the end of the day, you know, that type of stuff that takes place after the whistle, the scrums, getting in the opposition's face, coming in late, you know, grabbing the opposition, you know, getting a couple shots in. The reality is, Rob, that has very little impact on the game, you know, and you got to be able to do it between the whistles. And I think Minnesota has been better, at least of the two teams thus far in the first three games in that area. They're getting it done between the whistles. They're not going to be intimidated after the whistle, and the Blues are going to have to figure that out.
No prejudice intended. It's just been a storyline throughout the National Hockey League, goaltenders in the first round of the postseason. Can you give us a little sense of your evaluation of Jake Allen for St. Louis?
I think he's been great, Rob. I really do. I mean, you go back to the regular season, he hasn't allowed more than two goals against in a game, I think in 11 straight. You know, the first goal against in game one, the Zucker goal, where he was probably off his angle a little bit, got caught out of his crease, and Zucker made a great play, though, on the wraparound. That's not easy to do at full speed to be able to do what he did. He's really impressed me, too, talking about Jason Zucker. This guy just brings a level of speed and tenacity and intensity. His ability to make plays at full speed has been real impressive to watch. But you look at Jake Allen, I think he's got his glove hand going. You're not seeing a lot of rebounds. You're not seeing bad goals against. I mean, it's going to take beautiful plays and plays to perfection to beat him, as was the case last night. You look at the tic-tac-toe passing from the Parise line. I think that's how you, you know, find a way to beat him right now. You're not going to beat a guy like Jake Allen from the outside. That's been proven. You look at game two, the one goal that was scored against. Probably would have liked to have that one back. It came through a screen. Kind of a little bit of a fan shot from up top by the Minnesota player. It escapes me who it is that at this time. But, again, it didn't cost the Blues, but he's been more than good enough to be in a better position than where St. Louis is at right now. And there's been times when he's seen more action than Dubnyk, and he's outplayed Dubnyk. They got to find a way to get bodies in front of Devan Dubnyk, talking about St. Louis, try to create some second-chance opportunities, just get more shots on goal. You know, you look at the Blues in terms of their identity as a team, it's about funneling as many pucks on net as possible, getting those second and third chances, getting bodies at the net, getting everybody going full speed towards the goaltender, and getting some greasy goals. St. Louis hasn't done that very much here in the early going of this series, and I think it's made life pretty easy on a guy like Dubnyk. Again, the Blues had four shots on goal in the first period last night. They had 10, I believe, through two periods of play, and he only had to make 17 saves to register the Wild's third career shutout by a goaltender in their history. 17 shots on goal for a team like St. Louis that was one of the more highest-scoring teams in the National Hockey League. It doesn't take a genius to figure out they're going to have to be better in that area.
Andy, my final question for you, it has to do with, you know, from afar. You know, not a microscope, but more of a, you know, a telescope look at the St. Louis Blues. They've had no luck with their first-round draws or their playoff draws. I mean, that 2 years ago, that heavy series against the L.A. Kings, last year Chicago, this year Minnesota, who may have been one of the hottest, if not the hottest teams heading in. What's the atmosphere around this team? What's the atmosphere away, you know, from the rink, about Ken Hitchcock, about where this organization is at? How much of this is weighing or could weigh on them as this series carries on?
Well, I think it weighs on them. There's no question about it. I mean, the expectations on the inside are certainly far superior than any expectation you find on the outside. I mean, even though the expectations on the outside are certainly pretty high, Rob. But you look at this hockey club, it's been a process over the course of the last several years to build to get to this point. They won the division. And again, what I said was, you know, the toughest division in hockey, they won the division. They had well over 100 points you know, they're playing the wild card team. They should be in a better position than they're in right now. And you're right, a couple of years ago they faced L.A. They were coming off a Stanley Cup championship. They had a 2-0 series lead. They lost that series in six. Same situation last year to the Chicago Blackhawks. They had a 2-0 series lead playing against the defending Stanley Cup champion, only to lose the next four games. The role should be a little reversed. They shouldn't be concerned about, oh, my God, the draw that they got. It should be a bigger concern for the opposition to have to draw a team like St. Louis. But I always say this about winning in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Winning in the playoffs, to me, Rob, is a mentality. It's not all about who the better team is. It's not about who has more skill. It's about who's willing to do whatever it takes to win and whatever at whatever cost it is in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Those are the teams that typically have the most success. Whichever team is willing to truly dig down the furthest to do whatever it takes to win a hockey game. And right now, Minnesota's been the better team of the two in that area. Now, if you're the Blues, you got to look at it from a positive standpoint and realize, you know what, you're only down one game. You could win tomorrow night and then find yourself coming back to St. Louis with a chance to go up in the series if you can take care of business on the road tomorrow night. The Blues have been a really, really strong road team going back to January 1st. I think they were 15-4-3 to finish the season on the road. Been one of the better road teams all series long. Minnesota hadn't been that great at home, to be honest with you. And the Blues probably brought their C-minus game last night, and for the most part, it was a 2-0 hockey game. So I think that's the way they have to look at it and say, you know what, we didn't play well. We knew we weren't very good, but we still had a chance to win. And I think that's the way you look at it from a positive standpoint. And the Blues know they can be better, and they certainly know they have to be better if they're going to find a way to even up the series.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Enjoy that series. Here's hoping it's a long and it picks up from a St. Louis perspective. I'm sure we'll be in touch. But as always, Andy, appreciate your time, man.
Absolutely, Rob. Hey, you guys enjoy the series, man. I'm loving that. Oh. It's good to see the St. Louis kid, Brandon Bolick, get the Flames on the board first the other night. That was great to see. And the Flames, man, great story, and it's been a lot of fun to watch.
It is. It's a lot of fun. Thanks, Andy. We'll talk soon, pal.
Okay, take care.